Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. No more games. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
When you think of McDonald's, many nostalgic images and sensory experiences might emerge. A Happy Meal, the Hamburglar, the smell of a large fry, the crispness of a chicken nugget. But if you grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, which I suspect many of you did, something else might come to mind. The brightly colored space with the slides, a ball pit, and tunnels to move through. A plasticine paradise fit for a kid. This was the McDonald's play place, whose glorious rise and fall would be forever tied to the McDonald's experience. Let's talk about the play place, where it came from, what it was, and eventually, where it went. Playgrounds really emerged in the 19th century around U.S. urban areas as a way for kids to, quote, get off the streets. And they weren't just for kids. In the 1910s, outdoor playgrounds would be a place for adults to work out and socialize, too. But once the 1970s rolled around, parents were growing increasingly more cautious about, you know, letting their kids hang out with a bunch of jacked adults. This all led to a rise in indoor play spaces that were perceived of as more safe. Quote, "In the 1970s, we became really risk-averse," says play historian Susan Solomon. After World War II, there was a tremendous interest in unique, architect-designed playgrounds. But things changed when people became concerned about abduction. It was around this time that play was moved indoors, where it's safer, quote, "at least psychologically," Solomon adds. Enter the ball pit. Jeremy Saucier, editor of the American Journal of Play, says, quote, "The ball pit came out of different forces colliding in the 70s, he says, including both safety concerns and designers taking an interest in creating different kinds of playscapes. And of course, the burgeoning market of fast food restaurants wanted to capitalize on both parental fear and opportunity. So McDonald's, on the forefront of color theory, food science, and advertising, created McDonaldland, a technicolored plastic wonderland for kids to play, eat, and socialize, all under the roof of a local McDonald's restaurant. In 1971, McDonaldland and its ambitious marketing campaign introduced the U.S. to a fast food-themed world, populated by Ronald and his pals, followed by the first Happy Meals. Yes, the Happy Meal was created to kind of support and punctuate McDonaldland and this whole initiative to get kids not just eating in the restaurants, but playing there, existing there. McDonald's tested an early version of McDonaldland, which was rebranded to Playland and later rebranded to Play Place, at the Illinois State Fair in 1972. According to an article in MASH by Felix Baer about the Play Place, the Hollywood set designer Setmakers Incorporated put together a 4,800-square-foot space where children could climb, slide, and swing among their favorite McDonaldland characters. Whimsical touches included a smiling apple pie tree, a filet-o-fish fountain, and the singing waste baskets with signs reminding visitors to, quote, "feed them." According to MASH, the McDonald's play place spent 10 days at the fair and got an estimated 350,000 young visitors. Even more, the equipment passed all safety tests and was cleared for use at restaurants. The play place was a hit, but it was also a risky move for the fast food chain, both financially, in terms of safety, and just a general gamble. Not only that, McDonald's would take another risk soon after, with the widespread sale, like I said, of the Happy Meal, a small, scaled-back meal for kids, its own style and its own design container. McDonald's really put itself out there as a place, again, for kids to play, to eat, to exist, to have fun, a home away from home. A risk, a gamble, but one that absolutely paid off. The implementation for the PlayPlace was open to franchisees in 1972, and the playground quickly spread to McDonald's all over the country, the first one opening in Chula Vista, California. I know I've spoiled this for you, but the Chula Vista PlayPlace was a massive success. It was roughly twice the size of the Pilot Park in Illinois, and it increased the location's business by more than 60% in the months following its opening. At the dawn of the, quote, stranger danger era, kids and parents alike loved this magical space. And over the next several decades, PlayPlaces popped up across the country, becoming a really integral part of the brand. What you remember is probably correct. The PlayPlaces all looked pretty similar to the prototype and each other, a cast of familiar McDonald's characters blended with interactive enclosed spaces. Think Hamburglar as a 10-foot-tall swing set, or a hollow jungle gym in the shape of Officer Big Mac. And Ronald McDonald naturally presided over the scene as, quote, the undisputed clown prince of this mythical domain, as Illinois Parks and Recreation said of a prototype from the playground in 1972. In 1976, the world's largest McDonald's PlayPlace at the world's largest entertainment McDonald's in Orlando, Florida, opened, and it was a massive center with a huge arcade, incredible games, sports, recreation for everyone to enjoy. The culmination, one would say, of the PlayPlace experience. By 1987, ball pits became a non-negotiable part of the PlayPlace's identity, a safe space for kids to play while their parents looked on, of course, buying McDonald's products for themselves and their children while they did that. But despite its massive success, even since its inception, PlayPlaces weren't exactly living up to their own hype. McDonald's was keeping stories of second-degree burns, infectious bacteria, and injuries under wraps, not to mention America's growing obsession with, quote, health, a restaurant being constantly challenged by a super-size-me world of buyers. More after the break.
Hi, hello. How are you?
Hello.
How are you doing?
Hi.
Oh. Wow.
I'm a ghost. I'm a mid-century dandy.
Well, we want to say hello to anyone who's listening, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. We thank you.
Hello.
We thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Deep down inside.
Deep in our darkest of hearts.
And speaking of the light in a world of darkness, the Ghost Town government.
Yeah, speak of them.
I will. They're just brightening up my day and night. Mm. Oh, ooh, hello. I was like, don't turn the lights on.
Wow.
I'm nowhere any close. But they're doing it.
Okay.
They're doing it. We got some mayors.
Mm.
And they're bringing back some classic food choices.
Mm.
The world was like, no. And they're like, yup.
Mm.
Showing up to the party with an Arch Deluxe.
Oh, shit.
That didn't do well at all, the Arch Deluxe.
Listen to our episode about it.
It was like a leaner beef. Was that the Arch Deluxe? The leaner beef?
It was like an adult burger.
It was an adult burger. And it was just like, just give us the regular slop.
Yeah. Adults eat this burger. I promise you.
Well, bringing it back, making it all adult, Marissa Rothermill.
Hello.
Not to be outdone, walking in with a Mickey D's salad cup. Remember the cups?
It was like salad spinner? Yeah, I know. Yes, because my brother worked at McDonald's, and one of my birthdays in college, he filled our college fridge with salad spinners.
It's just a cup that you'd put a milkshake in or like a sundae, and it's just filled with like
old leaves.
Old lettuce and maybe a couple of carrots.
Yeah, cherry
and
then tomato.
Just shake it up. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling, Emma Hopkins?
Hello.
Impressing the hell out of me, and I've mentioned this once before, with the Burger King Burger Buddies, where there are two little sliders that are connected.
Oh.
I loved the Burger Buddies.
Really?
I needed a friend so bad.
Oh, you got two.
And I had two, or six, or eight, or ten.
And you eat them.
And I ate them all. And I would like to thank Casey Weber for that one.
Hello.
A hot pizza pie from McDonald's. The McPizza? When McDonald's had pizza?
That was very Borat-y as well.
Yeah. That wasn't Italian? I used to work at a pizza place just to make people. Well, I used to make sauce.
Yeah. Well, you've lost it.
Mangia. You know what I mean?
Mangia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, coming on with a hot pizza pie, my wife, Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
She's not my wife.
Yes.
This is going to be really impressive. The whole Wendy's salad bar, the whole old school Wendy's salad bar with like, it's like the sunroom.
Yeah, the atrium.
The atrium.
Yep, yep.
That whole, it had like
vines
some chili.
Up.
It was slop. A hot ass mess. It was slop central. Well, guess what? We're impressed, Matthew Clemens Leray.
Hello.
It's about to get dark. And this is something that I had, and I actually did have it, I believe, when I was in, might have been in Prague. This is when it was out. It was the Whopper, the Black Whopper.
Yes.
The bun was black, I think. Yeah. And it was, it tasted like whatever
Whopper,
it tasted like. It tasted like a Whopper, but it was gothic. And it was in Prague, so it was very gothic.
It's fucking metal.
And that is courtesy of Kat Drozell.
Hello. This is really just a playlist of episodes that we've done about fast food.
Yeah, we have. I'm just going through.
It's not to advertise during the break, but...
Just some of my favorites. Somebody's like, I would like to draw my own line in the sand.
Oh.
In this one. Coming on in with the hot sides hot and the cool sides cool, baby. With McDonald's McDLT.
Ooh, DLT.
Yeah. One side is hot and the other side is crispy ice cold. Now, meanwhile, it's both slop on both sides and it's in styrofoam.
Double slop.
It is double slop. It is bad for the environment. It's bad for your insides. It's bad for the outside.
Wow.
But you know what? Who doesn't care?
Who?
Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
She's like, you're going to eat it and you're going to like it.
Yeah.
And I will. And I do. Our governor, who's just running the game, bringing back breakfast McDonald's style back in the late 1970s when you got breakfast at McDonald's, you got a free razor. You got a free shaving razor.
Wow.
They were like,
yum.
Here's your pancakes. They were good, but here's your pancakes. It's in styrofoam. And here's a freaking razor. We're McDonald's. Take this razor. And our governor is like, listen, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, and razors is the most important thing
tool.
You should not eat by accident, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't get mixed up with your hash browns.
It's peanut butter and jelly, razors and pancakes.
But you know who can do it?
Who?
Someone who flies high above us, looks down at people just... by accident, eating razors.
She's like,
with their
nothing
breakfast.
Is a problem.
Nothing.
Everything
is
possible.
Let the rats run.
Exactly.
Let the rats run like rats in a maze, and just watch them cut themselves and eat.
Fucking you do that.
And they get syrup in the wounds.
I'm gonna do it with fucking elegance and grace. Nothing will stop me. Nothing.
That's our governor,
Avian
Noble. If you want no ads, no chit chat, bonus episodes, 7 days free, just the good stuff. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. We should have a new bonus episode up very soon. Working on it now. You want to get back into it?
Let's do it. Since they were first built, play places had problems. And finally, some of these problems were coming to light. In 1986, 4-year-old Dennis Williams was burned badly on his hands as he came down the Rialto, California play place slide. Other children also received second-degree burns that day, and Dennis and his playmates were just a few of hundreds of children fallen victim to Playland-related injuries that McDonald's allegedly failed to report in the 1970s and 1980s. The temperature of metal on hot summer days wasn't the only risk at your local play place. Families reported concussions, broken bones, skull fractures, with most injuries happening within the jail-like Big Mac Climber Jungle Gym. After the commission accused McDonald's of not reporting injuries on its tug-and-turn merry-go-round, in 1995, McDonald's promised to notify the agency of other equipment defects and pledged $5 million to a safety campaign. After that, the company reportedly and quietly updated its play areas with padded plastic equipment. But while the last of the Big Mac climbers were removed in 1997, claims about the Big Mac Climber Jungle Gym kept on coming, and in 1999, the fast food chain was given a $4 million fine for failing to report hundreds of children's injuries playing on it. In the 21st century, Americans began to have less of an idyllic outlook of McDonald's, with obesity being a major topic of conversation, and in 2004, lest we forget,
the hit documentary Super Size Me impacted McDonald's with a major financial and branding hit. But the play place was still an issue in how disgusting McDonald's could potentially be and how dangerous. In 2011, a development professor from Arizona swabbed bacteria samples from dozens of fast food playgrounds and had them tested. Lab results showed a concerningly high count and range of harmful pathogens, including coliform and staph bacteria. The New York Times interviewed a microbiologist who reviewed the survey, who said that the results indicated that, quote, these places are not cleaned properly or not cleaned at all. This is likely because play places are classified as, quote, non-food zones, so they're not held to the same cleanliness standards as the rest of the restaurant. Inspections in these areas were rare, trash and other debris left unnoticed. And no, this is not an urban legend when I tell you this. Hypodermic needles have been found in McDonald's play areas. Not hyperbolic, not an urban legend, that is true, reported on, and found in my research. Concerning, to say the least. But urban legends did abound, aided by the advent and speedy informational dissemination of the internet. Horror stories, some false, some true, circulated about things children and parents had encountered in the play places and ball pits. Dirty diapers, vomit, rotten food, and the like. A story of a three-year-old dying of an accidental heroin overdose after being pricked by a needle in the ball pit, though, is and was completely false. One mom named Erin Carr Jordan embarked on a crusade to hold McDonald's and other fast food franchisees accountable for calling these spaces safe and kid-friendly. Her research found, shockingly, or maybe to you, not so shockingly, that 49 out of the 50 fast food playgrounds she visited tested positive for some kind of potentially dangerous bacteria. McDonald's quietly began phasing out the play place in the early 2000s, updating its whole image to be safer, healthier, and more hygienic. Or at least, they tried. Play places removed the controversial spider climbers, also known from people on the internet as the, quote, swinging pendulums of death. Ronald McDonald's were retired from commercials back in 2016, and even the Happy Meal got a modern and health-conscious update, with healthier sides and scaled-down portions. But in 2020, the play areas that did remain, which were few, closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Many, of course, never reopened. But also, of course, we all love fast food, and with the waning love for the play place, McDonald's had to make room for more people, quite simply, to eat. Over the past decade, fast food consumption has increased by 20%, and it continues to rise every year. MASH reports that in order to keep up with consumer demands, restaurants like McDonald's had to streamline services and modernize, implementing things like ordering screens, more drive-through lanes, and expanding technology for easier interaction with the restaurant. We've talked about fast food restaurants before and the developments, and it all sounds a bit dystopic. But I think we can all agree it's maybe a new kind of play place, one with, let's hope, far less danger, or at least far less bacteria.